Good morning, church.
Good morning.
God bless all of you. Thank you for coming out here this morning. You know, I was thinking about this because how many of you, whenever you pray, it's more like this, you know, you're the one doing all the talking. You're not listening to what God's wanting you to talk. You know what I'm saying? There have been times that I'm sure all of us have done that, right? We're the ones doing all the talking. Well, God showed me something this week. Prayer should be dialogue, not monologue. Amen? That's what it should be. It should be that in our lives. We should pray, but we should also listen to what God's wanting us to do. Lord willing, I'm going to finish up with seven deadly sins here this morning, finish up with it. I know we've been going on with this for about 2 months, maybe about 2.5 months. I took a couple of weeks, Sundays off there for different things. But anyway, we're going to finish up with it this morning. And if you would, I'm going to be over in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And I'm going to talk about one of the most, society's most acceptable sins. I'm going to talk about gluttony this morning. And that's one of the seven deadly sins. And we're going to get into that a little bit here in just a little bit, but we're going to be over in 1 Corinthians. Before I do, as I have as I started out with this, I'm going to read over in Galatians first. I'm going to start with about the 19th verse. I'm going to read down to the rest of the chapter today. And then we're going to, then here in a little bit, we'll have you stand whenever we get into 1 Corinthians. But it says this, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emoluations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of thee which I tell you before, and as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, peace, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions of the lust and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, and let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Before I get into it, before we pray, how many of you know who D.L. Moody is and who is Charles Spurgeon? Most of you in here know. They were preachers from about the end of the last century. They were very well-liked and very well-known. Well, Moody loved Charles Spurgeon. He did. He never got the chance to meet him, but he considered Spurgeon a mentor. It's what he considered him, and a hero in his eyes. Well, finally, he never got to meet. Finally, he went over to England, and he found, I believe he lived in London, where Spurgeon lived, and Moody went up and knocked on his door. And whenever he knocked on the door, Spurgeon come to the door, and he had a big stogie in his mouth, and a big cigar. And Moody just stepped back, he said, seeing it, and he said, "How could a man of God do that?" And that was the first thing that came out of his mouth. And what happened was, whenever Spurgeon looked at him, he said, "Well, how can a man of God do that?" Moody had a big belly. He was way overweight. He said, "How can he do that?" And it was said that Spurgeon said unto him, "I will put down the cigar when you put down the fork." Now, this is what took place back then. This is a story that happened. It's a true story that happened back then. And I got to thinking about that as I get into this sermon here today. I'm going to venture a guess. As I said, I'm going to venture a guess this morning that you probably, most of you in here, have never heard a sermon on gluttony. Raise your hand if you've heard a sermon just specifically on gluttony. I never have. The years that I've preached, I've never preached one. I have never preached a sermon on it. But as I got into this stuff today, I want you to bear with me on this. I know I've never heard it. Unfortunately, some of the biggest reasons why preachers don't preach on it, because we're guilty of it. And I'm just telling you, that's some of the reasons. And when you hear the word gluttony, what is the image that comes into your mind? I'm just going to lay it out there. You just think for a minute. What comes into your mind? I think of Jabba the Hutt in Star Wars. I think of that a little bit. You know, that's me. That's just my thing. But to me, that's a personification of God. That's what that meant to me. But as you dig into it, you'll find out it's not that. For some of us, we may think of the story of the Bible in Judges, the third chapter, about King Eglon. We just talked about him recently, who was, when he was so large, an assassin took an 18-inch sword and stuck it into his belly, and it took it up. Couldn't even see it. We think of stuff like that. But the Bible speaks a lot about this subject. It speaks a lot about this subject, and I'm telling you, it doesn't go down what you're thinking about here. In Proverbs 23, 20, and 21, "Be not among wine bibblers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." In Ezekiel chapter 16, there is a very interesting verse in this scripture concerning the city of Sodom. How many of you here, we have preached on Sodom before. What was the main thing you always think of when you hear of Sodom and Gomorrah? You think of homosexuality, do you not? Well, listen to what Ezekiel says about this. "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy." See, if you find out was the bread part of it, they were gluttons. That's what it was. "Sensual pleasures consumed them. They did not care about others, only spending their time," this is what's going on there, "only spending their time and resources to please themselves." That there in turn is the heart of gluttony. They were arrogant, they were overfed, they were unconcerned. This sounds familiar, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like society today? It sounds like it to me today. In a lot of ways, it sounds like that. And when you think of gluttony, you're probably thinking of someone that's overeating. And that is where you're wrong. Because it goes beyond overeating and drinking. It goes way beyond that. Gluttony is based in a form, what it says, what gluttony really is that you're never satisfied with what you got. You're never satisfied with what you got, no matter what it may be. You're never satisfied. You're always wanting more. Now, that could be food, absolutely. That could be a lot of different things. But listen, it goes beyond that. Gluttony literally means to be mastered by your own appetites. That's what it means. That's what gluttony means. And sometimes we place too much emphasis on one part of it. I want to be clear, gluttony isn't always about your waistline. Gluttony can apply to overindulgence happening in any area of your life. But as we sometimes do, we like to equate gluttony to being overweight. But size and weight have nothing to do with gluttony. Has nothing to do with it. And I hope we remember that as we go down, because sometimes we don't. Gluttony can not only affect our stomachs, but anything that we're in excess of. That's what gluttony affects. Even Jesus was accused of gluttony. You guys know that, don't you? Over in Luke 7:34, "The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man, and a wine bibbler, and a friend of publicans and of sinners." But I'm telling you, Jesus was accused of it. Well, we know Jesus was no glutton, and we know Jesus. We know about him well. He wasn't. Now, to our scripture text for this morning. If the Lord allows me, when I get to this, if the Lord allows me, I would like to look at this topic through the lens of what I'm going to read to you here in just a minute. If you're able with me, let's stand this morning, and let's read 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Very familiar scripture. "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I'm going to read that again. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 19th and the 20th verse. "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning, Father, for the opportunity, Lord, again, to stand up here, Father, in your presence. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to, Father, to speak, Lord. And, Father, I pray that you would open up minds and hearts, Lord. I pray that, again, as I always do, get me out of the way, Lord. I praise you for that. Father, I just ask you now to go with each and every heart here. Lord, open it up, Lord. And, Father, let the word sink into it the way that you would have. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you. Thank you. Again, let me reiterate. Gluttony is solely by a bulging midriff. It isn't found out by high blood pressure, and it isn't about a poisoned liver. That's not what gluttony is about. So we must be careful not to judge superficially, and sometimes we have a tendency to do that. For some, it can be a matter of injury or health. It can be a matter of genetics. It can be a lot of things. But you know what? Overindulgence and being lethargic is one of the main things that happens when you do it. So why is gluttony go way beyond what someone looks like? From a biblical perspective, this is what we're going to talk about. Gluttony has to do with overindulgence. And like I said, it's an appetite that you cannot be. Everything, you want it. No matter what it is, you want it, whether it's food, whether it's sex, and I can go right on down the line that you need it and you want it and you've got to have it. That's what gluttony concerned of. It can include a number of things, and I wrote down some things here. It can include food. It can include drinks. It can include shopping. It can include sleeping. It can include sexual desires. How much time we spend on the computer or on our phones, watching TV, recreational activities, and working, and the list could go on and on. Anything that would have control over you, that can be considered gluttony in your life. It can be. Gluttony is a hunger for earthly things used as a substitute for God. That, to me, is the main thing right here. Anything that is used as a substitute for God, I don't care what it may be, I don't care what direction you're going with this. If it is used as a substitute for God, I'm telling you, it could be considered gluttony if you go to the extreme with it. Can I have an amen? Amen. Gluttony. What is gluttony is such a big deal. You see, gluttony will allow their appetites. Gluttony will allow their appetites, no matter what they are, no matter what their appetites they are, to control them, to consume them, and will eventually condemn them if it's not brought under control. That's what gluttony will do. Stuffing your closets full of clothes that you don't use. Amen. Stuffing our closets full of clothes that we do not use. There are clothes that can sit in the back of your closet that you just had to have, that you needed, that you don't wear. And I'm talking about men just as well as women here. Collecting items that you will never use. There are buildings, there are barns, there are basements that are stuffed, full of stuff that has no need or no use for, but just had to have it. Amen? Money, or should I say the love of money, is the root of all evil. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Let me read that again. It said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil. If that's the case, we're all working for money. We're all working for evil. It says the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after. And there are some that covet after it pretty big. And of course, eating when we are not hungry. All these can be signs of gluttony in our life. Absolutely. For you see, gluttony makes us a prisoner of our appetites is what it does. Gluttony will make us that prisoner. And you know, no matter what they may be, gluttony is a problem of the heart. Gluttony is not a problem of the stomach. It's a problem of the heart. It's not a problem of the stomach. Absolutely not. Sometimes we try to classify it as that. Whenever we think of gluttony, we think it's a problem with all. They just can't keep their mouth shut, can't stop eating. It's not. It's a heart problem. Gluttony will reveal discontentment in our lives as well. That's what gluttony will do. Opposite of what the Bible tells us, and having food and raiment, what's it say? Let us therefore be what? Let us be content. A gluttonous individual is not content. They're not content. They're not. They've got to have more. They've got to have more of what. But the Bible tells us we are to be having food and raiment. We are to be content with that. Gluttony reduces life to nothing more than the pursuit of self-gratification. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's what it says. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And by the way, gluttonous, Gluttony and overindulgence have a major effect on society as a whole. And maybe you think about this, maybe you don't, because we hear about it all the time. Airlines have had to reconfigure airplanes because of seating, because of larger size patrons. Hospitals have had to add on to the hospitals because of the multiple health issues that is caused by some of the lifestyles. And also, you may find this amusing. You may not. But you know the crash test dummies? You've all know what they are. You've seen them on television, right? The average size of a crash test dummy probably 25 years ago was 167 pounds. You know what it is today? 270 pounds. That's how they judge things. Crash test. And we say, that's just to name a few things. I say this with all the love of my heart. The four major food groups is not McDonald's, Wendy's, Taco Bell, Burger King. That's not. And I'm not here pointing my finger. I'm as guilty as anybody else is. But I'm here to tell you, listen to me. If we don't, Paul equates gluttony with paganism and idolatry. And we think sometimes that it's not sin. Absolutely. He equates it with that. He says this in Philippians 3:18 and 19. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is what? Is their belly. Whose God is their belly. And whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, not heavenly things. Their bellies is their gods. That's idolatry. That's what it is. And all they can think of is their appetites. I want more. I've got to have more. That's the thing. And thou shalt not have any other gods before me. That's a Ten Commandment. But yet, Paul's telling them that, you know what? Their belly is their god. A glutton is never satisfied or they never filled. Ecclesiastes 6:7. All the labors of a man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. A glutton's appetite can never be satisfied, and they will seek to fill it with the things of this world. Esau. This is examples in the Bible. Esau gave up his birthright because his belly became his god. In Numbers 11, it talks about manna. Wasn't enough for the children of Israel. It said, the scripture tells us in verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? They had an intense craving. We've just studied this here a while back. They longed to go back to the land of Egypt because they liked what food was over there. They longed for that. They long to go back. Can I tell you something this morning? Can I be honest with you this morning about this? Listen. They wanted to be in bondage. There are times that gluttony will bring us into bondage. It'll take us back into bondage because all we're consuming is we want to fulfill what is our appetite. We want to take and we want to, the appetite that we have, no matter what it may be, we want to take, and that's all that we can see. That's all we can be consumed by. They could care less of God, what God had given them. They could care less. You know what? They said that they wanted meat. God gave them enough quail to last them a month. The moment that they sunk their teeth into it, it said that God sent a plague upon them and killed a bunch of them. And in the end of it, the gluttony, he sent a plague and he killed them. Be careful what you ask for and what you long for in this life. Their hearts longed for Egypt. That's what they did. And again, their hearts lusted for bondage again. Paul talking to Titus in the book of Titus about false teachers in Crete. And he said this about them. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. You know what that means? They were liars, evil brutes, and they were lazy gluttons. That's what it says. That's what he said, that they were coming in trying to teach. In 1 Corinthians 16, 19, 20, it tells us a Christian's body, now I want you to understand this, is a holy place, and it should be treated like that. It's a temple. Amen? I'm not reading out of some other book. How about your book this morning? It says this. It says, know ye not that your body is the temple. That's what it's saying. Know ye not that your body is the temple. So whether you wear it on you or whether you take it into you, be well aware that if you're a Christian, and that your body is the temple. That's what it's telling us right there. Those Paul were talking to understood what a temple was about. A temple was a place of worship. A temple was a place of sacrifice. A temple was a place of celebration. Temples were built to remind people that God had a plan and a purpose for their life. You are a temple. God has a plan and a purpose for your life this morning. He has a plan and a purpose for your life this morning. That's what it's telling us right there. A temple is very significant. The temples in those days were kept very clean. You want to know how clean? You know how serious God was about it? If you go back to the First Chronicles, the 23rd chapter, whenever they built the temple, you know how many people were employed in the temple? 38,000 people. You know how many of them were there to clean and keep the temple up? 24,000 of them. That's how serious God was about the temple, keeping the temple. That was the earthly temple. Also, what did Jesus do? He went into the temple and did what? He cleansed it. He cleaned her up. Why did he do that? He didn't do it with a mop and a bucket. He took a whip in there and he drove those out. And they tell me there was two different instances of that. We think it's just one, but if you look, I believe you'll find out he did it twice. And he went into the temple and he cleaned them out because they were buying and selling in the temple. And thus the temple, they cleansed the temple. So when Paul says, know ye not that your body is the temple? Listen, they understood. And so should we as well this morning as well. Also, Christians, I'm going to say this with all the love I can in my heart. Our bodies is not trash cans. Our bodies is not trash cans. Our body is a holy place. We are a temple. If we view our bodies as such, it should encourage us to live above the fray as much as we can live above the fray. Not only are our bodies a holy place, but also our bodies have one of the Trinity living within it. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? If you're a Christian here this morning, your body's a temple, and the Holy Ghost should be living within you. Not around you. The Holy Ghost should be living within you. That's what it says right there. And it says, and listen, know you not that the Holy Ghost have God. They believed that whatever God they worshipped set up residence in the temple. They had all kind of pagan temples in Corinth, all kind of them. What they would do, they would build statues of that goddess or that god in that temple, and they believed, those people believed, that god dwelled in that statue. He dwelled in that temple, in that statue. Well, if you go over to Jerusalem, God was in there, his presence within the temple, but my Bible tells me God does not dwell in temples made by hand. He doesn't dwell like his presence is in this building. But praise God, where does he dwell? Where's the Holy Spirit dwell? It dwells within us. That's what it's trying to tell us. Listen, whenever it's telling us, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have God. In the temple of Jerusalem, God's presence was there. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, he dwells within us, and his presence should be within us too. Acts 7:48, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophets. What makes a Christian so special? Jesus said this. John 14:17, it says this, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. for he dwelleth. Now get this, with you, and what's the next part of that say? And he shall be in you. Yes. That's why these temples, these bodies are for God. Whenever I'm preaching on this stuff this morning, it's not because I'm trying to put anybody down. I'm not here to judge nobody, but I can point my fingers at myself. And it goes on to say, so that's why gluttony and overindulgence should always be kept under control. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. There was a price paid right here. There was a price paid right here to make your body a temple, to allow the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. You were bought with a price. Let me ask you something this morning. What's that mean to you? What does that mean to everybody sitting in this church this morning? You were bought with a price. There was a price paid for your soul one day. Everybody in here, there was a price paid. Whether or not, I don't know if you're a Christian here this morning. I don't know if you are. I don't know your heart. But if you're born again, there was a price paid for you. If you're sitting here this morning and do not know Jesus as your Savior, there's a price that's been paid for you. It's been paid. And listen, whenever he's saying this, whenever he's telling us this, so you are bought with a price. It should mean a lot to you. Should it not? It should mean a lot to you. Everyone around you that you will come in contact with. Everything from the way that you act, the way that you conduct yourself, the way that you take care of yourself, should all be a reflection of who's living within you. Amen? I didn't figure I'd get a whole lot of amens today. Listen, I am probably more guilty than most of you in here. I'm telling you, just because your mass body index is way low doesn't mean that you're not a glutton. Can I say that? It doesn't mean that. I'm not trying to make it in here because you're this or you're that. It's not it. It's what's in here. It's what's in here. What do you feel like? What consumes you? Does Facebook consume you? Does Twitter consume you? Does whatever it is consume you this morning? Is it everything in your life? Because if it is, you're a glutton. You may not think you are, but that's all that you want. You're putting that in place of the true and the living God. Look at yourself. I'm going to leave you with this. Belinda, you can come up and get a song right if you don't care. It should all be a reflection of who's living within you. Lord, show me this. You know what? Look at yourself as an HSHQ. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit headquarters. That's what it is. HSHQ. You're the Holy Spirit headquarters. That's what you are. From you, the Spirit goes out. From you, the Spirit goes out to try to witness to people, to try to show them that Jesus truly is who Jesus said he was. Man, I tell you what, praise God this morning. I know Tink told me the other day. She said, "No, we're going to finish up on this. We're going to get into some nice sermons, all right?" Baby Jesus sermons. Lord willing, we will. I'll see what he tells me. But listen, I hope you understand this morning. I love you. I'm not here to put anybody down. That's not what I'm trying to do. But listen, I told Jamie this out there. I told Jamie out there. I said, man, these last 7 or 8 weeks I've preached on all these things, he has convicted me probably more than he's ever convicted any of you guys. And I'm thinking, I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. If you're here this morning, as they get this song ready, as we play this song this morning, listen to me. I don't know your heart. I don't know where you're at. But if you come up here, I'm not going to judge you. I'm going to come up here and pray with you. as somebody that needs the prayers just as much as you do. Amen?